The past year has, for Karen and me, been one of the most memorable years of our lives. I shall always be grateful to the Lord and to you, his people, for entrusting to me the office of moderator. And if I were to try and summarize how I feel about this year, it would be with the words that a blessing has been given to me that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For the past year, as a church, we have been reminded and have been exploring what it means to be a place of transformation. And this evening, by way of reflection, let me take you on a journey to visit some of the places of transformation which I have been able, as moderator, to visit in your name and on your behalf. This year, the moderator's overseas trip was to Rwanda on behalf of the World Development Appeal to learn of the vital work supported by Tear Fund and Christian Aid through their partners. The context for that development work is a genocide of 20 years ago, in which as many as 1 million people were killed in 100 days. Whilst the genocide memorial honestly portrays the horror, nothing prepared us for the visit to two Catholic churches where many people gathered to find sanctuary but instead found death. These church buildings have been left as they were, with shrapnel, bullet holes, bloodstains. But thankfully, that is not the whole story of Rwanda. To be able to touch one of the water towers built to harvest rainwater was for me one of the most memorable and moving of moments. What a difference to everyday life is the at hand availability of clean water. People in Rwanda, we discover, need a hand up, not a handout. As well as bringing much needed sustainable development, the church in Rwanda, both officially and at grassroots level, has been playing a vital part in rebuilding society, seeking to address matters of guilt, forgiveness, and reconciliation. We met the Seekers of Peace, a locally organized group of Christians who initially met for prayer and Bible study. In time, they reached out to their community, bringing much needed practical help, and have been seeking to foster reconciliation and good community relations. Thanks to the generosity of the Presbyterian family, this year you were able to give a total of £972,000 to the two appeals, both of which came our way in November and December, the World Development Appeal and the Philippine Typhoon Appeal. Here is a quick survey of some of the new properties that we attended in this past year. For in this past year, no less than 13 congregations invited me to share with them and take part in services of the opening and dedication of new or renovated properties. On every visit, we were impressed with the courage, faith, generosity of each congregation, working together to enhance their worship and witness and make their place of worship a place of transformation. In particular, I couldn't help but notice the use of glass and open space to create large welcome areas where people can meet and greet one another. Now, a personal story, my places of transformation. Here I show you Union Road in Machrafelt. For this is where my parents confessed their faith, and I was baptized. It's just a few years ago. Though I didn't know it, in the providence of God, this was to be my first place of transformation. And among the other places of transformation were our family congregations, first Cookstown, the Mall Armagh, followed by Low Memorial Finihy, where my visit was recorded permanently. Other places are Glengormley, where I served as assistant, my first charges of Clough and Seaford, United Congregations, and of course the Congregation of Kilfenan, whose love, support and prayers have meant so much to us in this past year. As moderator, we visited the presbyteries of Ards, South Belfast and Down, places of transformation also. In the Ards Presbytery, we were taken, or greatly taken, with the storehouse, where all the churches, not just Presbyterian, are collaborating together with resources and personnel to meet the growing and pressing needs of the poor. In South Belfast, along with Jenny, I tried my hand at cooking breakfast at Friendship House. We find ourselves on the streets of Belfast late one Friday night, or was it Saturday morning until 2 a.m. with the nightlight team. And in the Down Presbytery, we spent part of a morning hearing of the work of the Hub, which offers counselling now to all kinds of people. It grew out of the Christian response to suicides within the community, each one of them seeking to be a place of transformation. Every local congregation places a lot of emphasis on its children and its young people. We found great encouragement from the several transformation events organized across our church by Youth and Children's. In September, there was a morning at Springfield Farm with preschool children and their mums. I not only spoke at the commissioning for the interns, the VIPs, but was able to lead them in a time of devotion. The Mad Weekend continues to be as popular as ever. I understand that it is already booked out for this autumn. We were very busy, but there was always time to stand up for the Ulster men and be there on Friday nights. There was always time for a good cup of coffee. And to my more than 630 Twitter followers, I want to say thank you for coming on the journey with me. I don't quite have as many as Justin Bieber. He has 52 million. So I've a bit of a way to go as moderator to get there. But I found Twitter a great way to communicate in an instant where I was, the people I was with, and what I have been doing. And I suppose I have the honor of being the first moderator in PCI to tweet. Gujarat, India. In mid-March, Karen and I traveled with Leah from the Bible Society, making an all-too-brief six-day trip to Gujarat in India. We were garlanded everywhere we went. There we discovered to our amazement how deeply appreciative are many Indian Christians for what they call the IP mission, Irish Presbyterian. They speak of the 19th century missionaries who left Ireland as if they had just left last year. We were able to visit Christian hostels where disadvantaged children receive care, education, and support, and they're well looked after. Part of the forthcoming youth project will be to partner with the Bible Society in making available copies of God's Word for many of these children. This building, not just the assembly hall, but the whole of the church house assembly buildings, have proven to us this year to be a place of transformation. We held several conferences in the assembly hall, each following a similar format with public presentations and round table discussions. There was the God in the Shadows event, ministering or understanding how to minister to people with depression. We had the Eyes to See conference, in which guests from Kenya and Indonesia shared of the church's role in bringing transformation to troubled parts of the world. The church in the public square drew in many representatives of public and political life. Breaking the silence, this conference arose from in response to the SPUD delegates at last year's assembly. Through it, we sought to address issues surrounding adolescent mental health. Dealing with the past, shaping the future, our Good Relations Conference enabled us to reflect Christianly and biblically on issues such as parades, flags, and the past. Our Herald Agents Day was an opportunity to affirm those who are the link in distributing the Presbyterian Herald within our congregations, three of whom on that day were acknowledged for having fulfilled this role for more than 45 years and had never been acknowledged before. And on peril of my life, I dare not leave out the two PW annual general meetings, Anna, the new president, and the valuable work of our PW associations. Time, alas, is not on my side. There isn't time to linger over a visit with the students in Derry Volgay, or at Thompson House, or at the King in Church for the Deaf, or with the hospice chaplains, the family week at the Share Centre. Congregations and colleagues, women and men, all around Ireland. Let me sum up my reflections as follows. A word of sincere thanks to all the staff who, through their service in this building, serve the wider church. With every visit and for every request, I met with nothing but warmth, kindness, welcome, and support. And I want to affirm most strongly that here is a place and here are people of transformation. To our clerk, to our deputy clerk, to our press officer, and all the staff in the General Secretary's office, and to Joyce in particular, who kept my diary and kept me right, a big heartfelt thank you. To John and Philip, my two chaplains, who in this past year met every request for help, support and prayer. Thank you. To the whole church, you have entrusted me with this office and this opportunity, and I will be forever grateful to you for giving it to me. To those whom I met within and out with the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and to those whom I met within and out with the Christian Church, you have enriched me immeasurably beyond your knowing, and I will be grateful for every contact and visit that we had. To Kilfenan, for releasing me, and for Mark, for looking after Kilfenan. Karen and I are looking forward to coming home and being once again with our church family. To Karen and Rachel and Hannah, for their love and support, sharing this past year, continuing to keep me right and making me look much better than I am. Thank you to the three of you. And wherever you and I live and work, there we know and believe that the Lord has located us in our place of transformation. Now, with that in mind, as we pray that the Lord through us would build his kingdom for him and his glory, want to show a video that was shown on the assembly celebration on Wednesday of last year. Some of you will remember it, for some of us it will be new, but it's on the theme of the church, and in particular where you and I are placed in our places of transformation. Thank you.
Come set your rule and reign in our
reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to the Apostle John. Let us hear the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen, and thanks be to God for this, his precious word.
Last year, one of the first civic events which I attended as moderator was the visit of President Obama to the waterfront hall. Now, I didn't meet him, and I don't think he knew that I was there. But before his arrival, the young people present, and it was largely sixth form pupils, they started a Mexican wave to see political, civic, and religious leaders all joining in together. And in that moment of transformation, I felt a little echo, the echo of Van Morrison in days like this. If only we could have more like that. In April of last year, I found myself as a guest at a reception in Windsor Castle, mingling with all kinds of people from our society, north and south. The visit of President Higgins, mirroring the visit of the Queen to Ireland in 2011. Again, in that moment of transformation, I hear those words echoing again about days like this. At the start of May, I had the same emotion as I stood in Great Victoria Street with many other people dressed in pink and watched the cyclists of the Giro d'Italia racing past us. But in between and surrounding those three events, we experienced lots of other things. Last summer, violence erupted on the streets of North Belfast. Before Christmas, many of the hopes of agreement at the Haas talks stalled into the new year. And as this year has been unfolding, an increase in race-related attacks and stalemate over welfare reform. Days like this, the generosity of spirit, the glimpses of grace and transformation have at times been overshadowed. And what we may have witnessed in our public life, I suspect may be true for many of us, be it in our personal or our congregational lives together. Moments of transformation, when you feel as if the wind is in your back and you're longing for more days like this. And then when the goodwill disappears and you feel as if you've a gale force wind in your face. In such moments, we are all confronted with two very real and powerful temptations. On the one hand, we can be tempted into that kind of individualism which is out there in the air that we breathe. The individualism which insists that life is just about me and what I can get out of it. And it plays to my sinful nature. On the other hand, in the face of such intractable problems, we can be tempted into a paralyzing despair that nothing is ever going to change. That in the words of the expression, the more things they change, the more they stay the same. Throughout the past year, I have been privileged to speak almost on a weekly basis on the theme of transformation, and in particular on the church as a place of transformation. For this reason, let me take you to just one sentence from our scripture reading. Only five words. I am making everything new. In all my years as a minister, I've had the foolhardy courage to read these words and this passage of scripture at every funeral which I conduct, standing at an open grave. Immediately prior to the words of committal, like all my colleagues, I affirm to a grieving family and all who grieve with them these words, I am making everything new. In the face of death, this word of promise and this hope from the risen Lord has inspired one generation after another, transforming them, transforming their faith, transforming their outlook on life. As we, be it personally, as a church, as a society, journey on through life, may these words be our inspiration, not least in those moments when you're tempted to think only of yourself, or you're tempted to despair in the face of trials that would paralyze. Let me highlight briefly two facets of this word of transformation. I am making everything new. First, in the book of the Revelation, it's full of colorful images and pictures that stay in the heart and the mind long after you have read the book and heard the sermon. One of the most significant images is that of a throne. Not just any throne, and certainly not an earthly throne. It's the throne of heaven. John the exile shared with his generation this revelation. The picture which has sustained and still sustains faithful Christian people in the darkest of days. That life, so often out of your control and mine, is never out of God's control. When you and I are tempted to believe that evil is winning, when we're tempted to hide away in our own personal worlds, when we are tempted to give up in despair, let us remind ourselves and let us be reminded that there is one who is seated on the throne and he is making everything new. Every Saturday night during the football season, when the evening news comes on, the reporter gives that well-known warning. If you don't want to know the score, look away now. And in my experience, they never give you enough time to turn it off or get out of the room. Through all the pictures and images of Revelation, John paints for us the theme that is found throughout Scriptures, that God is the King. He is in charge. We know the final score. And secondly, please notice the tense. It's what we call the present continuous. For the voice from heaven does not say, one day I will be making everything new. I am making everything new. This making things new, this work of transformation to which we have been called, is underway. Jesus, in his first sermon, announced that the kingdom had come. His parables illustrate how the kingdom works. In his death, he is the king who was crucified, and by his resurrection, he is the all-conquering king. The message of his words to us is this: resist all temptation to turn in on yourself. Resist all temptation to give up in despair. Come into his kingdom, pray for his kingdom, do the work of his kingdom. Earlier this year, one of our daughters invested in a new car. Until she bought the car, I never noticed how many of that model and make were on the road. I must have been blind. My eyes were closed to them. Now I see them everywhere. Maybe you've had that experience, but in that experience I've come to understand this. How it can be with God's work of transformation in our lives, in our congregations, and in our community. We can be blind to it, fail to recognize what he is doing and how he is working around us as he is making all things new, until the day come when Christ returns and all is new. Let me conclude with one final image. Let me take you back to the days of the BBC broadcasting to the occupied peoples of Europe during the Second World War. The broadcast began with a single drumbeat, thumping out three short beats, followed by a longer beat, signaling on a drum beat, the drum, the Morse code letter for V, for victory. Tonight I offer you not four drum beats, but five words. I am making everything new. They don't come from the moderator. They come from the throne. They come from our Lord and our God. And as we leave a service like this and return to your world and my world, to your congregation and my congregation, to our society, which still is in need of transformation, let us go out with these words in heart and mind. May they be our inspiration. I am making everything new. Mike, let me tell you what you probably already know, that you've been elected to be the moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland for this week and this year. Mike, you and I belong to the class of 82. I don't know which of us has changed the more over the years. I think you're wearing better than I am. But who would have believed that the class of 82 would produce no less to date than three moderators? One of my good memories of our times in college doesn't come from the classroom, but it comes from the football pitch, where Mike sported a shocking green goalkeeper's jersey, and you kept goals for the college team. Mike, let me tell you that from today, you will not be playing in goal anymore. You're playing up front, offering leadership for, speaking on behalf of, representing the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Now, before you feel overwhelmed by that, let me assure you that you will prove, as I have in this past year, that you will enjoy the goodwill and the prayers of our Presbyterian family as you shoulder such an amazing privilege. That will be the wind in your sails, and it will carry you along. As Karen has been such a support to me, I know that Esther will be with you all the way on the journey that you embark. It lasts for only a year, and in the busyness of each week, the time will fly by. If I could offer one piece of advice from the past year, it would be this, Mike. Grab it with both hands. Give as much of yourself as you can, and you will receive much more in return. Now, let me pray for you and commend you to the Lord, to his care and keeping. Let us pray. All stand, please, for the prayer of installation. Gracious Father in heaven, when we hear your call to us in Christ, and when we answer his call to follow, we discover that you call us together on a journey of service and obedience. We thank you for Mike and for Esther, together with Judith and Debbie, the Barry family. Already with more than 29 years of service in Uri, you have made Mike a blessing within the congregation of Sandy Street, within the Presbytery of Uri, and within their local community. This year, as moderator of our General Assembly, may the favor of the Lord our God be upon Mike, and also upon Esther, Judith, and Debbie. With each new day, grant to Mike, we pray, energy of heart and mind, freshness of spirit, good health, safe travel. Stay close to him. May he keep in step with your spirit and be filled daily with your spirit. Give him the right word, a word from yourself when he speaks to an individual or to a congregation or to the wider community. And may the kingdom of Christ and the honor of his name be central in all that he is, in all that he says, in all that he does. And as we pray in the name of Christ our Savior, I invite the congregation to join with me as we sing the familiar Aaronic blessing upon you, Mike. Elected you moderator. We've prayed for me. Let me just formally offer you good wishes and God bless.
My first word must be a word of thanks to the Presbyterian Church in Ireland for bestowing on me this great honor and privilege. It is a daunting challenge, but one that I accept, knowing that the God who called me will sustain me, and that his grace is sufficient for me, and that his power will be made perfect in my weakness. My second word of thanks must be to you, Dr. Craig. Rob, you and Karen have given great leadership to our church as you have traveled throughout Ireland and abroad. We have heard some of that work through your reports and also this evening, but I know that there was considerably greater work and responsibility on your shoulders than just that. You have discharged your duties faithfully. That sounds formal and forensic, but you and Karen have done so with the Spirit of Christ. Rob, you have changed since we first met as students. You had just returned from 2 years' service in India. You sported a beard that would have made the Dubliners jealous. At the end of that year, I went to Queen's Quad to look for my results. And as I hunted for my name in the board, a voice behind said, "Is your name there?" I thought it a bit forward of a stranger to engage me in conversation about results, but I chatted on with this mysterious figure. Eventually he said to me, "You don't know who I am." And I remember well my reply. "I recognize the voice, but I can't put a name to it. I'm Rob Craig." And there before me stood a clean-shaven, fresh-faced, handsome young man. "Well, Rob, you're still clean shaven." And Karen thinks you're fresh-faced and handsome. But while you may have changed physically, you have still maintained your love of the Savior. You have brought your considerable intellectual abilities to bear on your ministry, as you have led God's people in Glengormley, in Clough, in Seaford, and in Kilfenan, and for the past year in every congregation of our church, and you have done so with winsomeness and vigor. Rob and Karen, on behalf of our church, I want to say thank you for the rich blessing that you have been to us, and pray that you both, along with Rachel and Hannah, will be blessed as you return to Kilfenan. No doubt changed some more, but still with that glowing ambition to be Christ's ambassadors in the Northwest, as you have been wherever you have served him. Thank you, and God bless you.